Whether you're a first-time poultry owner or looking to expand your flock, you can always use some helpful advice. Blaine's Farm and Fleet's got you covered. With great info and products to help raise healthy birds in-store or online at farmandfleet.com/chickdays.
You're at the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison. And this is kind of the time of the year where we're all sitting on our hands, prepping the fields, looking around, just waiting to get in. But Scott, it's also a time of the year to talk about land conservation because they really go hand in hand.
That's right. And the land conservationists around the state had their awards program earlier this month. This is Scott Schultz on the northern end of the world's longest barn in Eau Claire. And Matt Omican and his crew at Short Lane Ag in central Wisconsin, they have facilities in Unity and Pigeon Falls, are out there in the fields doing the business of land conservation while they're selling their product. Bob caught up with Matt a few days ago and asked what his company has been doing with farmers in the region to earn such an honor from the state land conservationists.
I think it's starting to finally soak in right now, and it's though we're very humbled and we're very, very excited and honored that we got that award, but each time when somebody talks about this award, I truly feel that it's not so much the work that I've been doing or my older brother has been doing through our retail business, Short Lane Egg Supply. I feel like it showcases the work that our progressive farmers are doing and what our other organization, the Eau Plaine Partnership for Integrated Conservation, otherwise known as EPIC, is doing. So, you know, when I got that award, the first thing I said, I'm like, this is showing the hard work that we all been doing. Because quite honestly, if I didn't have farmers to work with that were talking to me and showing me what was happening and being honest with me, you know, we wouldn't be, I would say we wouldn't be anywhere near being recognized for something like that. So I feel like we're very blessed with some of the growers that we're working with and with individuals I get to work with on a daily basis. You know, like we work with UWA Research quite a bit. We know people through Marathon and several other land conservation offices around the state. And I keep in constant communications with other conservationists working in agriculture through NRCS or other farmer watershed groups. So it's been fun, but yeah, thank you for recognizing us getting that award. But yeah, you know, we still got more work to do.
Let's get further into this. The Eau Plaine Partnership for Integrated Conservation. How big an organization is that, and what is your focus? Because again, it's very directed. Water quality is the bottom line here.
It's a farmer-led watershed group, and this was a program initiated by DACAP where they saw this gap between our federal and state resources and on the agriculture efforts of trying to stymie the rapid rate of soil leaving the fields and the increasing of water being having high nitrate and high phosphorus rates. So they found this program where if they had these organizations developed where farmers can come together and share their resource, not just share their resources, but, you know, bounce ideas off each other and create a partnership, more was being initiated. So what we did was we're more of a community-led watershed group. So we have different areas of agriculture in the industry and also in the rural community all sitting together. And for board members, we're rapidly growing. We went from 8, now we're reaching into the teens. We're almost close to 20 board members. And we have people representing finances, people representing suburbia, people representing different areas where they are focusing on recreational improvement of the Eau Plaine. Of course, we also have a very good showing of dairy farmers, CAFO all the way down to small rotational grazing guys. And our mission statement is that we want to create healthy rural communities, not just physically with better drinking water, but also economically sound farming operations. Because truly, if you think about how Wisconsin landscape is, it's mostly rural communities. And if you look at what the main economic driver of rural communities, and that lifestyle, it's through farming. So once you have more and more smaller farms or mid-sized dairy farms disappear from that landscape, so also go your rural communities, which really is the heart and soul of what Wisconsin is.
And Matt, give me the scope of the Eau Plaine Partnership for Integrated Conservation. How big an area are we talking about? How serious is the problem, and how important is it as far as managing, keeping the soil on the land where it belongs?
You know, I never bothered to ask, like, how many square miles that we look at with the Eau Plaine watershed, but everybody can certainly look us up on social media and on our website as well to see the breadth of the area. But, you know, if you look at Marathon County, it is majority of Marathon County is what this watershed is, and we have parts of Clark County and Taylor County. And if you think about the demographic of the landscape of Marathon County, majority of it is agriculture land, close to anywhere between, I think it's about 60 to 70% of the landscape is in ag land. What that equates to is if you have that much of the landscape under agriculture management and you have an increase of row crops where you have a lot of exposed soil, then you run into the scenario where your chances of runoff will increase, especially with the volatile weather that we've been having. For instance, in Wisconsin last year, we had 5 rain events that were classified as 100-year rain events, meaning it's going to take 100 years before you see another severe rain event like that, and that happened 5 times. So that's a rapid drive of a lot of that soil and the nutrients it's holding that gets into the waterways. And right now, the Wisconsin River, of the whole entire river, the largest river in Wisconsin, the highest discharge of pollutants is at the Eau Plaine Reservoir and of anywhere else in the state. So those are the challenges that we're facing. And if you think about it, in the last 10 years, when you look at farming practices, our small grains production dropped by 10%, our perennial hay rotations dropped by 10%, and then if you look at the other scope, our corn production increased by 12%, and the soybean production increased by 20%. That's the challenges that we face. We had a landscape that was mostly under hay production, and you grew a little bit of corn, and you had very few soybeans, but you had a lot of small grains. But all of a sudden, you take away those aspects, then all of a sudden you have row crop systems where you have soil that isn't protected and is more prone to runoff with severe weather events, has conditions where once it gets degraded, the traffic ability gets reduced, so your tractors get stuck. You can't get out in those time frames to spread manure out that you want, so those manure applications get tighter.
So what, Matt, as you look at the work you're doing over there in the watershed, what are the things you're doing, you're advocating? You're talking cover crops, better manure management, and how successful do you feel you've been so far?
That's a very good question. I'll always say that I feel like we need to be doing more. The last 2 years, we sent out surveys where we asked, like, how much of your acres are under no-till? How much interseeding are you doing? And we've actually been increasing all those areas by the thousands. So I think 1 year in 2018, we had people come back and saying, hey, out of all the farmers we're working with, we're at 1,200 acres of interseeding. And this last year when we got the stuff back, we were around 9,500 acres for interseeding. And on the retail side, like out of my offices, these last 2 years are the most that we've been selling for interseeding cover crops, because when a guy or gal does it on their farm, the first thing they come back and tell me, they say, I cannot believe how clean my tires stayed on my tractor. I was able to drive right across that field. I didn't get stuck. I kept the soil out on the field, and I didn't have to get the skid steer and push it back onto the road. So our numbers are steadily increasing, but like I said, we still have more to go.
We certainly do, but we are getting a good handle on it in the Eau Plaine Partnership for Integrated Conservation. Matt Omakin, a driving force in that working relationship with landowners, telling us about the progress they're making and more work that needs to be done. I'm Bob Bosold.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
So Susan came over, and the first thing she says is, this whole room looks completely different.
Okay, that wasn't the first thing Susan said. She gossiped about Linda, but I didn't get involved.
So I say, yes, the whole room.
I mean, if Susan is going to gossip, I'll give her something to gossip about.
And she goes, I can't believe it.
Okay, truth bomb. All I did was add accessories from Lazy Boy.
So Susan unloads and says she could never do something so amazing. And I think to myself,
all right, maybe you exaggerated too much. Let her in on it.
Truth is, Susan, I went to Lazy Boy and picked up a few items. Their interior designers show you how an area rug here and a couple of side tables there can change a whole room. And she headed to Lazy Boy. She better not blab this to Linda.
Just a few accessories from Lazy Boy makes the difference. Lazy decorators love Lazy Boy Home Furnishings and Decor, Madison. East Springs Drive near East Town Mall.
You can hear her clearly, even in a barn full of cows. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Jahnke.
Alrighty, boy, let's get going on this weather forecast. I don't know about you, but I actually kind of broke a sweat over the weekend. Easter definitely looking different than what we've seen some years around Wisconsin. Let's talk about it. Stumach Ag Meteorologist joining us on our Compeer Financial Ag Weather Update. How'd you spend your Easter? Were you like me? And, let's face it, yesterday, more than a little warm.
It was warm, yeah, no doubt about it, but it was all right. You know, spent some time with family, actually did the church business, and it was nice.
Yeah, it was. It really was. And now my biggest concern is, you know, I saw a guy that was seeding oats. You and I are old school, Stu. You know, when you seed oats, you're almost begging for a little snow to fall on it sometime. I hope we're not looking at that kind of a drastic change.
I don't have that in the forecast, but I was questioned about seeding oats, and I went back toward home, northeast Wisconsin, saw some guys working at fields Saturday and Sunday, everybody having that urge to get things going. Well, there is just a bit of a rain chance this morning, mostly in the far southern parts of Wisconsin. I mean, Janesville heading toward Kenosha, Racine, that far, far southern and southeast edge of the state, seeing a little rain this morning. The rest of us, a very, very small chance that anything may develop. There's this wavy front that extends all the way from the west coast up toward North Dakota, back toward northwest Iowa, into Wisconsin, around the southern third of the state. We're going to watch that little wavy front all week. One day it'll be a warm front trying to push north, then it'll be a cool front trying to push southeast out of northwest to southeast Wisconsin. But all of it working together will lead to an occasional rain chance. I think the more likelihood of rain comes a bit later Tuesday and into Wednesday. And looking at, say, La Crosse and Eau Claire Tuesday night into Wednesday, some rain amounts upwards of a half to three quarters of an inch, even a bit more, pushing toward an inch a possibility. Elsewhere, quarter to half inch amounts about that time, and that'd be late Tuesday night or into Wednesday. So there will be more wet weather as we head on toward the mid part of this week. Oh, I don't expect it's going to be a gully washer. You know, we're not going to get a couple of inches in the case of an hour, but there will be some rain and some measurable precipitation to be seen. With it, very, very mild air. So, you know, thinking about that snow on that freshly seeded oats, I don't really see it this week. Temps in the 70s, could be an 80 yet today, even at La Crosse, at Eau Claire and La Crosse. Now, it won't be quite that warm toward the end of the week. Daytime highs may drop back into the 50s, but that's still like normal for this time of the year. So we don't have that Arctic blast to mix in. Just a bit of an unsettled pattern with some rain chance around. Slight possibilities today or tomorrow. More likely late Wednesday or late Tuesday into Wednesday, lasting into Thursday. And that's when we'll start to add it up. You know, here and there, hit and miss amounts. Like I've said, could push into that half to one inch range, maybe a little bit over. But if you've got some oats in, a good rain on top doesn't sound like bad news either. It's just the fact that we're not going to continue on. I can't imagine that our pattern will continue on this way above normal range, but looking on at least through the next 7 to 10 days, normal is about the coolest will be mid-50s for a daytime high toward the weekend, but I'm sure it'll be kind of damp around that time, so we won't make a lot more field work progress. I'll have forecast details right after this.
Rural Mutual Insurance. keeping Wisconsin strong.
All business owners want the same thing, to make their business succeed. At Rural Mutual, they help that happen. As the third largest writer of commercial business in Wisconsin, they take the time to learn your business so they can properly protect you. Call your local agent today or visit ruralmutual.com.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
Steffes Group has been selling everything from the latest combines, tractors, and tillable farm acreage to hay and livestock the Steffes way since 1960. The Steffes way is about doing business and working with people the right way. It's about trust, commitments, responsibility. If you're looking for farm or construction equipment, go to steffesgroup.com and check out the huge NREC Solutions equipment auction in Chippewa Falls. This is an online auction featuring 12 John Deere tractors, 6 Cat skid loaders, 30 pickups and service trucks, a full line of pipeline restoration equipment, and more. For a complete list of equipment and photos for the NREC Solutions online equipment auction in Chippewa Falls, closing Wednesday, April 14th, go to steffesgroup.com right now. That's steffesgroup.com. Steffes Group, selling land and the equipment to farm it since 1960.
Boost agriculture production in 2021 by optimizing operations with Focus on Energy.
Focus on Energy partners with Wisconsin utilities to offer farmers the resources to identify energy efficiency upgrades and cash incentives to make it happen.
Get started today by contacting your energy advisor. Call 888-623-2146 or visit focusonenergy.com/agribusiness to learn more.
That's focusonenergy.com/agribusiness. Focus on Energy, helping farmers grow since 2001.
All righty, Stu, let's talk a little bit about the forecast ahead. I mean, boy, you know, this is normally the time of the year when we're watching snow dissipate a little bit. Maybe a crocus or a daffodil starts to sneak through. We've fast-forwarded way past that situation, but a little rain coming up.
Yeah, there will be some of that rain. You talk about it. I was out taking pictures of the crocuses and daffodils out in my wife's little gardens and sending them to her. She had to work Saturday morning, so I sent her flower pictures. She was happy.
Jeez, what a softy you are.
Oh, trying to earn points, let me tell you. Anyway, our Compeer Financial Ag Weather Forecast does include that little rain chance, especially in the far southeast part of the state this morning. Could be a sprinkle here or there, nothing more than that. And otherwise, mostly sunny, partly sunny skies further east, and pretty mild. Mid and upper 70s, I'd expect an 80 possible at Eau Claire today. Very warm indeed with the south winds about 5 to 10. Mostly cloudy. Late tonight, a small chance of a little sprinkly shower. Look for nighttime temps to fall back into the upper 50s or stay around 60. South winds about 5 to 10. Tuesday, partly sunny. Another small possibility of a shower or storm could become more likely by late afternoon and evening. Look for that temp again in the mid-70s, maybe some upper 70s in the west. The southwest winds 5 to 10. And then Tuesday night into Wednesday, more likely we see some rain. Mostly cloudy, showers, even some afternoon thunderstorms. Wednesday, low 70s, you know, almost 20 degrees above normal. Southeast winds 8 to 18. But like I've said in that, let's just say Madison Beaver Dam, Oshkosh, Fond du Lac, could be some quarter to half inch amounts. Mauston, La Crosse, Eau Claire could be half to maybe near an inch of rain by Wednesday. So a little wet through the midweek, Pam, and then just a little cooler, trying to be a little more normal here toward the end of the week.
You know, honestly, though, that's not bad news. I think the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources said something like there's more than 40 fires that are either happening right now or have happened around Wisconsin over the weekend. So it's drier out there than we might like at this stage in the game.
It's very, very dry. A couple of farm friends and neighbors are commenting on how really dry it is, and they really hope we do get some rain out of this to try and make a little difference.
Yeah, right. All right, my friend, we will catch up with you tomorrow. Thanks, Stu.
All right, have a great day.
Stu Muck, our ag meteorologist with your Compeer Financial Ag Weather Update. Remember, Compeer Financial, your financial partner, committed to agriculture and rural America. Visit Compeer.com. And as a matter of fact, if you take a look at our website, MidwestFarmReport.com or Fabulous Farm Babe on Facebook, you'll also see that Compeer Financial is stepping up to try to assist our rural school districts that have been challenged with the pandemic in so many different ways. They have got a special rural rural school grant program that they are rolling out. Like I said, details are up at MidwestFarmReport.com. Also want to remind you, like Stu said, I saw a little lightning out there this morning, even if it didn't turn into showers. When that rain starts to come, we need your rainfall reports right here. The Rural Mutual Rainfall Report. Jot down this number, 877-301-FARM. That's the Rural Mutual Talk Text Line. You'll be able to send your rainfall reports to that number directly.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Jahnke.
Take a chill pill. Hi, my name is Tim O'Brien, owner of The Healthy Place. Do you battle stress, anxiety, or depression? You need to know about our top-selling product, Chill Pill. Chill Pill is a natural supplement with a simple herbal blend that works. Infused with magnolia bark to reduce cortisol for stress relief, L-theanine to calm the mind from anxious thoughts, and the amino acid 5-HTP to balance your serotonin levels and uplift the mood. Has anyone ever told you that you need to take a Chill Pill? Well, now you can for less than a dollar a day. After everything that we have all gone through this last year, we all need a chill pill. Talk to our wellness consultants today to see if Chill Pill is right for you. Come on over to any of our four locations for in-store shopping or curbside pickup. Or stay home and take advantage of our same-day delivery in Dane County, free shipping, live chat feature on our website, and phone consultations. Stop in or check us out online at findyourhealthyplace.com. The Healthy Place.
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our focus on exceptional client experience is at the heart of everything we do. And our financial team will help make every step easy and convenient. See why our clients trust us to make their goals possible.
Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. And MLS number 619731, copyright 2021, all rights reserved.
When you choose from several options, you're likely going to save money. That's what a family-owned independent insurance place like ours can do.
When other companies offer you only one solution, Madison's Prairie Land Insurance Agency offers you a wide array of personalized, affordable options. Is your current policy really the best? Talk to Prairie Land Insurance Agency, your local independent home and auto insurance agency. For your free insurance review, call 251-3009. Prairie Land Insurance Agency.
Our best is the very least we can do.
If you've been injured in a bad crash, you might think the facts are so clear that you don't need an attorney. Big mistake. Insurance companies have many arguments to reduce settlements, no matter how clear the claim may seem. I'm John Raihala. At Clifford & Raihala, we have the experience you need to take on those arguments and win. Recent example. A young woman was driving when an oncoming car crossed the center line and crashed into her head-on. She was severely injured and paralyzed and needed experienced lawyers. Though her case seemed clear, the insurance company still came up with lots of reasons why they didn't want to pay. We fought for her and made sure she and her family received the full compensation they deserved.
For relentless dedication to helping you and your family, choose Clifford & Raihala, hard-working, skilled attorneys fighting for you. For justice, myjustice.com.
Monona Plumbing and Fire Protection, a name you can trust when service is a must.
Monona Plumbing and Fire Protection is here 24 hours a day, 7 days a week for all your residential and commercial plumbing services. From installation, repairs, and maintenance to complete sewer and drain cleaning, we've got you covered. Visit MononaPFP.com.
Monona Plumbing and Fire Protection, a name you can trust when service is a must.
The River Food Pantry, Dane County's busiest food pantry, celebrates 15 years of caring, compassion, and community. The River's birthday bash is Saturday, May 15th, with music, raffles, food, drinks, and goodie bags all served curbside. You'll take home a beautiful meal, enjoy music, a wine pull, and raffle, all from the safety of your car, and all while supporting Dane County families facing food insecurity. Go to riverfoodpantry.org for tickets. Celebrating 15 years of caring, compassion, and community. riverfoodpantry.org.
So I've been cruising around Facebook and
the Twitter sphere, and then obviously a bunch of sports websites. And I'm looking at, can't help but look at the TV when they play it. In between opening day, it's always the Aaron Rodgers drama in Green Bay. And then we had those comments from Mark Murphy earlier this week. And I just got to ask you, bro, I mean, when we first played him a couple days ago, it left a sour taste in our mouth, right? It was something that it's just didn't seem right.
I'm going to be completely honest with you. This is starting to get to like Brett Favre levels for me.
No, it totally is.
Because it's starting to get annoying that you have to talk about it all the time. Because obviously we've talked about how it's a different situation. Favre was waffling back and forth whether he should retire or not. And I mean, he did take more risks than Rodgers, and you could say that Rodgers is arguably at a higher level than what Brett Favre was, and then then 2 years later you see what he did with the Vikings.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you can necessarily argue that, but still, it's starting to get annoying because Mark Murphy, Brian Gutekunst, someone come out and say or do something so we don't have to hear about all these little rumors because it's
exactly.
Their offseason.
Every offseason lately with the Packers has been a soap opera. It's as the wheel of cheese turns up there in Green Bay. Mark Murphy, I'm going to play the comments again and just here.
No, I can't really get into specific players.
It's about Rodgers.
You know, we've been able to create room with others.
Don't you guys want to ensure, though, that he's your quarterback beyond just this season?
Yeah, I'm not going to get into the specifics again.
That right there is the worst thing to ever happen, or I guess some would say the best when it comes to, you know, talking heads and the drama. But the worst thing ever was Mark Murphy being allowed to, you know, get in front of a Zoom meeting, and then he was asked about Rodgers and gave that stupid answer of just...
No, I can't really get into specific players.
Huh? He's your player. He's a Green Bay Packer. He's under contract. In fact, Rowdy, a little later on in that conversation, he was asked about the salary cap. He was asked about free agency.
We don't have a lot of cap space, and cap went down, you know, about $15 million. And when you look at it, you know, obviously, we made some key signings, most recently Aaron Jones, but really you go back during the season and David Bakhtiari and Kenny Clark. So those are pretty good free agents there.
So from going from this...
No, I can't really get into specific players.
I can't get into specific players to this.
We don't have a lot of cap space, and cap went down, you know, about $15 million. And when you look at it, you know, obviously, we made some key signings, most recently Aaron Jones, but really you go back during the season and David Bakhtiari and Kenny Clark. So those are pretty good free agents there.
You go from not even saying Aaron Rodgers' name to then talking about Aaron Jones, David Bakhtiari, and Kenny Clark. Am I taking crazy pills? Do I feel like something is off here with Rodgers and the Packers brass?
Yeah, it totally is. And it's becoming annoying, I think, for everybody.
Say his name, Mark Murphy.
Obviously,
say Rodgers.
Mark Murphy doesn't want to do anything. Obviously, he doesn't want to say anything about it, but you can tell he's getting annoyed by it, right? Because
mm-hmm.
He instantly goes, I can't talk about it.
Yeah. I've got to talk about rumors. And then he talks about Bakhtiari, Kenny Clark, and Aaron Jones.
We've had probably 3 or 4 segments the last 3 or 4 days, all pertaining to the same exact topic.
Rowdy,
nothing has changed besides lack of words.
I saw this from PackersNews.com, and it was, the Packers are playing with fire. Here's how Aaron Rodgers could force his way out next year if he feels motivated to. This is now what's being written by the Big Jays.
Well, I told you the last time we talked about this, at what point are you Aaron Rodgers where you say, enough is enough, trade me, call their bluff?
Yeah. Oh, the King says those aren't specific players. He goes from not even saying Aaron Rodgers' name to, I don't know, naming specific players. King, I think you're a little slow today, buddy. Go drink a little more of that coffee. It's getting to be annoying. I mean, it's not getting to be. It is annoying. It's all you ever hear about. Opening day. Final Four coming up. Oh, and Aaron Rodgers forcing his way out of Green Bay. Well, here's the thing. Maybe Rodgers doesn't want to stay in Green Bay. Maybe that's the case. I mean, I don't know what it is. I don't think anyone knows what it is. And the guys that do know what it is aren't going to say anything. But the one thing
I
do know...
I think there's only a handful of people that knows what it is. And it's Aaron Rodgers, Brian Gutekunst, Russ Ball, and probably Mark Murphy.
Rowdy, here's the one thing I do know, though. Mark Murphy is right there crying about how they you know, can't do much in free agency because of their money situation, right? I do know one thing, that if Aaron Rodgers and the Packers brass were to restructure his contract, they would save like $14 to $17 million.
From farm to fork and everything in between, we cover it all. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Jahnke.
Boy, we've got trillions of dollars that the federal government wants to bring to the states for infrastructure. Yes, it's things like roads and bridges, but it's also things like high-speed broadband internet in the rural community. One of our Wisconsin state legislators wants to make sure that it's concentrated on getting the rural communities connected. Josh Scramlin's got an update for us on a Monday morning. I'm Pam Jahnke. Now, from the Landmark Services Cooperative Agri-News Desk, here is what's happening on a Monday, April 5th. On this day back in 1974, Robin Yount became a regular brewer. Yeah, he was just 18 years of age when he became the Brewers' regular shortstop. Boy, he turned out to be just a dandy addition for the team. In 1992, he became the 17th player in history and the third youngest ever to hit 3,000. So, Robin Yount started as a regular brewer on this day back in 1974. On this day in 1976, the strange, reclusive billionaire Howard Hughes passed away. Charlton Heston died on this day back in 2008. On a more positive note, happy birthday to General Colin Powell. And now you know. Well, we want you to know that Wisconsin women involved in agriculture, being the shot callers, continue to grow in numbers. And beginning tomorrow, as well as Wednesday, the Wisconsin Women in Conservation Movement is inviting all women involved in agriculture to get online and share their stories. It's a virtual event that's going to involve four conservation coaches from across the state sharing their experiences about land stewardship and also sharing their experiences interacting with groups like the Natural Resource Conservation Service. Maybe it's their Land Stewardship Association. Different groups that are out there with not only educational assistance, but maybe financial assistance that can sometimes be a little intimidating to the women that need those services. One of the gals that will be leading as a conservation coach tomorrow is Patty Shevers. She is just outside of Green Bay in Oneida, where she has restored some of her family's cropland to native prairie habitat and has been working with groups like Pheasants Forever to make even more improvements. She's got an interesting history as far as their family farm is concerned. I asked her to start there.
Yeah, thanks, Pam. It's been a really interesting journey, that's for sure. My great-grandparents came from Holland in 1914 and purchased this block of land. And since then, it's been kind of flip-flopping between originally women-owned management, then it transitioned to my grandfather, my father, and then my mom took the reins in 97 when my dad passed. And then, you know, she didn't really know what to do with it in the 90s because she had her own career. So she rented it to a local farmer who had been doing, you know, the traditional corn and soy rotation. And then I turned back into the scene. It was in 2018 is when I came back home and I wanted to take the reins basically, but I didn't know how. So what I did was go back to school. So I enrolled at NWTC, the local tech school, and part of the Sustainable Ag program, where I met a lot of really amazing women and movers and shakers in the ag community around here. And it just whet my appetite for wanting to learn more about conservation practices in particular and agrotourism, which is something that I'm very interested in. So went through that program, got my degree. And during that time, I had a chance to network with the NRCS folks and learned a lot about the different conservation programs that we could do on my family's land. And I really spearheaded a pretty substantial transition from, you know, conventional agriculture, you know, more recently into conservation farming. So we were able to get it all off the ground last October. So we got three ponds put in, got the majority of the seed down into the ground for our pollinator habitat and the mesic grass mixes. And then this spring, we're going to finish it off with our tree planting. So we'll have oak savannas, which is pretty cool. So yeah, I mean, that's kind of in a nutshell what we've been doing, but I'm really excited to have you know, the support and agreement of all the women that are part of this block of land. So my aunt owns a portion of it. My mom, my sister, and I own the majority of it. And with all of their support and agreement, we have spearheaded this amazing effort in order to keep this property in our family for the upcoming generations. We really want to be the best stewards to this piece of land as we possibly can.
Right. And you've gotten creative about it. Patty Shever is along with us from Oneida, Wisconsin, outside of Green Bay. Now, aside from kind of going that conservation goal on the land, tell them about your glam sites. It's a phrase.
Glamping.
Glamping. There you go. Thank you. Yeah. It's a phrase I'm familiar with, but explain to people what glamping is and why you've decided to try that as another revenue source.
Yeah. So, you know, 90 acres of our 113 is put away into this conservation program, which is basically untouchable for somewhere upwards of 15 years. So I reserved a chunk that's about 7 acres to work on a couple other diversification initiatives, one of which is glamping. So offering campsites to tourists to experience farm stays, and not just your typical farm stay, but a conservation farm stay, you know, see how a farm can transition from one entity to another and really experience that to its fullest extent. Another one of the diversification things that we've done is created a garden. We've got quite a bit of market vegetables that we're working on, and then also berries and elderberries, blackberries, raspberries. So our brambles are coming along here. And then we also have some exotic poultry. So that we're kind of experimenting with the poultry at this stage, but we have 4 different breeds that we're playing around with. So all different ways of creating other income sources down the road. They're all just beginning right now, and we're really excited about it. We really embrace that. So my partner, who is my fiance, is the one that helps me with that smaller chunk of land that we're playing around with all these different ideas.
Patty Shevers, just outside of Green Bay in Oneida, one of the conservation coaches that's going to be sharing her insights into all the groups, all the resources that are out there ready to assist women involved in farming. If they just make that call, send that email, make that appointment. Now, you can get your name on the list for these webinars tomorrow and Wednesday. Go to the Wisconsin Women in Conservation website. That's wiwic.org. Absolutely no cost. Just get signed up today. Markets and overnight electronic trade, back to business and on the positive side of the margin. Numbers coming up.
Today's energy saving solution is brought to you by Focus on Energy, a statewide program creating energy savings for Wisconsin residents. Focus on Energy provides a free energy saving kit with products to help you use energy smarter in your farmhouse, including LED light bulbs, weather stripping, and more. You must live on a farm property to be eligible. Visit focusonenergy.com/farmhouse kits to order your free kit today. focusonenergy.com/farmhouse kits.
Steffes Group has been selling everything from the latest combines, tractors, and tillable farm acreage to hay and livestock the Steffes way since 1960. The Steffes way is about doing business and working with people the right way. It's about trust, commitments, responsibility. If you're looking for farm or construction equipment, go to steffesgroup.com and check out the huge NREC Solutions equipment auction in Chippewa Falls. This is an online auction featuring 12 John Deere tractors, 6 Cat skid loaders, 30 pickups and service trucks, a full line of pipeline restoration equipment, and more. For a complete list of equipment and photos for the NREC Solutions online equipment auction in Chippewa Falls, closing Wednesday, April 14th, go to steffesgroup.com right now. That's steffesgroup.com. Steffes Group, selling land and the equipment to farm it since 1960.
Everyone at the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board lives and breathes Wisconsin soybeans and can be your knowledgeable ally in the field and at home. With important grower alerts, timely production advice and industry news, and expert-generated grower research, we are the resource to help your crop and business thrive. Stay in the know and connect with the Wisconsin soybean community by finding Badger Bean on Facebook or by visiting badgerbean.com.
All right, the markets this morning are robust after the Easter break. December corn's up 6 right now at 490. November beans are up 15 cents at 1278. July wheat, penny stronger right now at 611 a bushel. We've got May milk trading 9 cents stronger at 1854 a hundredweight. June milk, that's down 2 right now at 1859 a hundredweight. $2 trillion, that's how much the federal government wants to send out to states for infrastructure. Things like roads and bridges, but also items like rural broadband access. One of our state representatives is keeping an eye on that money and wants to make sure it does the job for rural communities. Josh Scramlin's got that update coming up.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
You already know that worms approve our shredded topsoil. But did you know that seeds also love our special blend of garden mix? It's packed with nutrients that plants need to grow to their full potential. Visit KalaniTopsoil.com for delivery, or you can simply pick it up at our awesome processing plant. Then watch that garden grow with tons of fresh vegetables or beautiful plants and flowers.
Take it from a worm. Trust the guys who know good dirt.
Kalani Topsoil.
Now that's good dirt.
Educated mortgage, your smartest way home. Man.
Interest rates are at all-time lows and home equity is at all-time highs. You know what that means? You can save big money by refinancing your mortgage loan. Whether you want to just save a few hundred dollars a month, consolidate some debt, or get money for home improvements, now's the time to call me.
Educated Mortgage, your smartest way home. Call Dan, the Mortgage Man.
NMLS number 222-652.
It's Wisconsin's most complete farm show. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
The state of Wisconsin is set to receive $3.2 billion from the federal government, and that chunk of change is a result of the $1.9 trillion stimulus package that was passed in Washington just about a month ago. So, once the state receives that $3.2 billion, what exactly are we going to do with it? That is up to the sole discretion of Governor Tony Evers, but a group of lawmakers at the Capitol are urging the governor to invest $500 million of that money towards overhauling the state's broadband infrastructure. One of the lawmakers leading the charge on this is State Representative Tony Kurtz of Juneau County. And Representative, I want to make sure I'm speaking on this correctly. If the state invests $500 million because of a grant program that we have, private companies around Wisconsin would then have to match that $500 million. So actually, it would be a $1 billion investment overall. Is that correct?
Well, okay, so our portion would be $500 million. And then basically matching, you know, with these private companies, you know, they have to match. So let's give you an example. So Laval Telephone just did receive some broadband grant program from the latest round here, and they might have a project that costs, say, $1.6 million. Well, that company will put up $800,000 of their own money, and then from the broadband grant program, they'll get another $800,000. So that will pay for that project of $1.6 million. So if we put in $500 million, again, with the private match from industry, that would be another $500 million. And once again, we could have a potential of up to $1 billion just for broadband in rural communities.
You wrote an op-ed, and it's available at MidwestFarmReport.com, basically talking about why you think the governor should put this money towards rural broadband. You say that if we were to make that $1 billion investment, 97% of Wisconsinites would have access to high-speed internet. So do you really think that that many people could have that access if we were to do this?
Well, and let me preface this. You know, that's an estimate. So when we talk to, you know, the industry, you know, the telecoms, all these other different experts in that industry, they based on the money, and you notice in the article, I specifically talk about, because obviously there's been a lot of money from the federal government that has come down. Those are the what they call the RDOF funds. And, you know, recently, I believe you guys covered this, where Spectrum, you know, received a grant for like $150 million, and they're going to put another for almost $500 million of their own money into broadband infrastructure. And that's Charter, you know, with these federal RDOF funds. So when you take all the federal funds and now, you know, the funds that we could invest now with this, that's where a lot of the industry experts, when I talk about the telecoms, all these other groups, they say, you know, you could possibly get to about 97% of coverage. And, you know, obviously that's an estimate, but, I mean, we'd be, I mean, think about it. We'd be such in a such better place than we are right now. I mean, I live in very rural Wisconsin, you know, Juneau County, beautiful town of Waniwok, and on a good day, I get like 5 megabytes. I mean, you know, right now, if you think about it, that's pathetic in the day we live in now to only have 5 megabytes. When my neighbors, you know, in the city of Reedsburg or something like that, you know, they're talking about 1 gig service. So there's quite a disparity between the urban settings and the rural communities.
Does this have support in Madison? Are there enough lawmakers that are banging this drum wanting this to happen?
Yes. And, you know, this is interesting. I was asked yesterday this question about, you know, what if this happened 2 years ago? And I would say no. I would say no, there would not be support of that. Because I would argue to say about 2 years ago when myself and my colleagues, you know, we got $48 million in the budget for the broadband grant program. Once again, that's matching. So, you know, that's just the state's portion. And then private industry matches that. But after the pandemic, what our state has endured over the last 12 months, it is very clear the disparity between rural areas and urban areas. And that disparity is obviously high-speed internet. I mean, we've seen that with people trying to work from home. They couldn't. You know, you saw that with young kids and teenagers trying to do school virtually. They couldn't. You talk about telehealth. You know, it was interesting. Last year at this time, I believe I was in Richland Center at Richland Hospital when the governor was there signing a bill, a great bill for telehealth, expanding the operation of telehealth. Well, that, you know, if you don't have good quality internet in rural areas, you can talk telehealth all day long, but you can't actually do it. And so, you know, the pandemic has really showed the disparity in rural communities when it comes to high-speed internet.
Ultimately, the decision lies in the hands of Governor Evers. He has sole discretion over how that $3.2 billion is spent. Do you think that he would be apt to go for something like this?
I certainly would hope so. I mean, this is something that, you know, you talk about. Unfortunately, so many things are highlighted that we may disagree with the governor. This is something we agree with the governor on. You know, there's something that we championed last session in the budget by getting $48 million. It's something that he has talked about at his State of the State to have 2021, a year of the broadband. And why not use federal money that it's clearly we can do this with federal money. Use this for federal money, and then the money that we're going to save from, you know, state dollars. You know, something I would love to see us invest more in is local roads, you know, townships, county roads. I mean, I think all your listeners understand the importance of our infrastructure. So you got the 21st, you know, century infrastructure with broadband, and you also have our, you know, our legacy infrastructure with our roads and our bridges. We just have a great opportunity now to do some really sound investments in our state for broadband. And like I said, if we can use that money, the federal money, and that maybe free up a little more state money that we can put in our local roads, I think we have a great opportunity here. We truly do.
That is State Representative Tony Kurtz of Juneau County. Kurtz, along with a group of lawmakers at the Capitol in Madison, are urging Governor Tony Evers to spend $500 million on overhauling the state's broadband infrastructure. The state is getting $3.2 billion from the federal government as part of the stimulus package that came out of Washington about a month ago, and they have until the end of 2024 to use it. And Kurtz says that if we did it properly, that we could become a leader in the nation in terms of connectivity and high-speed internet access. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Josh Scramlin.
Can't get enough farm news? The stories you hear and more 24/7 at MidwestFarmReport.com.
How is it that we can have smoker's lines without ever smoking?
A skincare minute with skincare expert Michelle Neeson.
Smokers or lip lines can occur not only because of smoking, but other factors, such as talking, drinking from a straw, genetics, and age-related fat loss. The most simple and effective treatment for this problem is a combination of dermal fillers such as Juvederm, which can smooth and fill those fine lines as well as hydrate the lips. Also, A neuromodulator such as Botox can be used in small amounts to relax those pursing muscles. At Rejuvenation Clinic of Sauk Prairie, this treatment results in a natural, more youthful appearance of the mouth and often lasts a year or longer.
Let your natural beauty shine through.
Visit us at rejuvenationclinicofsaukprairie.com.
There have been multiple instances of scammers impersonating Madison police officers and detectives. A 27-year-old man told officers he was contacted by MPD officer Rick Foster, and the caller ID displayed the MPD North District's main number. The victim was asked to send money through a money app. The victim later confirmed with MPD that this was a scam and nobody by the name of Rick Foster is employed with MPD. These types of calls are scams with people impersonating the authorities and conjuring up different schemes to fool people into giving them money. Remember, scammers can